This episode will be significant. This is Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Engine air filter.
You did?
By myself.
By yourself. I like that. Mm-hmm. Like nice. That.
Do you want to put Freon in my car? Because my air conditioner doesn't work.
That's a hard pass.
Okay. Thanks.
I could see Angela being a gearhead and turning wrenches all the time. 100%.
Mike's just sitting here like, you guys have no idea how little she actually does.
No idea.
All right, so again, I don't want to make this episode like, you know, grounds for a divorce or anything, so we'll try to keep it nice and civil between you two.
We'll be fine.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it. All right. All right, so welcome, one and all, to, is this undoubtedly going to be the greatest episode of Funsphere Movie Club? I mean, Last Dragon is hard to top. Luckily, we got JJ here to help us, but, and Angela.
Don't forget me.
Oh my goodness, can that be?
Betty.
Noted villain, Master Payne?
My name is Betty.
Welcome again to Funsphere Movie Club, and today we are talking about Kung Pao. Kung Pao. Enter the Fist.
That's a lot of nuts.
It is. It is a lot of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts.
Oh my god.
That one I can do.
That's a lot of nuts.
I was actually talking to her about it last night because I was like, he must have been right on that.
Yes, yes. Because
it's so blown out.
And when he dropped that line in the movie, that was like the breaking point. You're,
yes,
you know, you're in the final act. And you're like, I don't know if I could. I'm going through with it, but just cry laughing.
$3,
by that
baby. You want fries with that?
Correction, that'll be $4, baby. You want fries with that?
How embarrassing for you!
It is. All right.
Your days are over, mister.
So, we've got a full house. Full house today. Angela, thank you again for joining us.
I'm Mike.
I'm Angela.
Oh, okay.
I'm two Joshes.
You are two Joshes. See, Josh, this
and
is...
And I'm
JJ.
Milk.
This, oh, okay. See, JJ, you're going to have to think on the fly and come up with another funny name.
Yeah, I'm Josh.
There you go. Hi, and I'm Wimp Low. That's, and wait till
I'm
you...
I'm a ventriloquist.
Now, guys, the entire episode...
I'm just going to say I did not rewatch this, but it's so fresh in
I
my
did.
Mind.
What?
It was free on YouTube.
Yeah.
Was it really? With ads?
I want to watch it with Squid ads.
Okay.
Mike, did you watch it again on YouTube last night?
We watched it last night.
Yeah, like a commercial every 6 seconds. Like the commercial breaks are at the most
it
random
was like
points.
Every 15 to 20 minutes, but yes.
I have the DVD. Man. I do not know where it is.
Okay, so I have it a digital copy. Hang on to that DVD, Samantha, because actually this is one of those movies that does not get reprinted a lot, so I don't think it's ever made the Blu-ray transition.
Something my mom's
don't say.
Really?
Just yeah, such a
I'm surprised we don't.
Award-winning, high.
It was a phenomenon.
Film. Yeah, a phenomenon. Broke all sorts of barriers, and it has not gotten reprinted yet.
You know, I'm surprised we don't. I agree with you, Angela. I am surprised we do not have the Criterion Collection version of this film yet, but unfortunately we don't.
We're not even saying what movie it is, and I'm already when I first saw
we
this.
We said
Kung Pao?
Did we?
We did not say Kung Pao. I did not think the words Kung Pao were
uttered. I thought
I
interrupted you before you said it.
No, I'm pretty sure I got it out there, but I think so.
Hey, we're talking about Kung Pao.
Yeah.
Not just any Kung Pao.
Wait, did you say...
Enter the Fist.
Did he say it? Now I feel like I remember the words Enter the Fist, but not Kung Pao.
Yes. No, I said Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Well, okay.
Well, if not,
sure
I'm saying...
said Last Dragon.
Okay.
I did mention the Last Dragon, but I...
Every time I make a high diplomacy role in Pathfinder and an NPC changes their mind, I imagine implore you to reconsider.
I implore you to
reconsider. So the next person that argues with me, you have to pronounce the main character or the main actor's last name.
I don't Odekirk. Know. Oh, that was Bob Odekirk.
It's Odekirk.
I've looked up nothing about this movie.
It's O-E-D-E-K-E-R-K?
It's Odekirk.
Odekirk?
Well...
I thought it was Odekirk.
I only call him Chosen One.
I think that's the right thing to
Chosen
do.
Chosen One!
Wow, it was that guy the whole time.
Chosen!
I feel like you couldn't see that, but I stuck my tongue out.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's bad.
Tonguey's the worst part of the movie.
Tinda.
Tonguey is kind of the worst part of the movie. All right. So, for any of those poor, unfortunate people that are unfamiliar with the movie... Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, is a 2002, that doesn't sound right, based on the copyright.
No, it's 2002.
I thought it was 2001, based on the copyright that I read earlier.
Oh, I guess I was 12 when I saw it.
Is an American martial arts comedy film that parodies Hong Kong action cinema, written, directed, and starving Steve, we'll call him Odekirk. It uses footage from the 1976 Hong Kong martial arts film Tiger and Crane Fist, also called Savage Killers. Along with new shots. Despite its negative reception for its over-the-top humor,
it wasn't loved right away.
The film was a box office success.
I've never
looked up anything about this movie. Every time I learn something new about it, even as a kid not understanding that he was just dubbing over.
Yes.
Have we defined success? Is this they made their money back, or
they made profit?
Success is they didn't lose everything.
The fact
they
that it's
made,
been it's almost 20 years, and I can still quote it.
I'm gonna say success is defined in a few different ways. We'll go with the standard way of viewing it. It did make a profit for a film. It almost doubled its money. Angela, what do you think of that?
So not like a whole full dollar, but
no.
More dollars.
How much did this cost to make?
$10 million.
17 wooden nickels.
Believe the wooden
nickels. 10
million,
really?
Yes.
$10 million,
and it made 17 in the box office.
Just from buying the rights? Is that the expensive part? Because I imagine he just was at home.
I bet they wasted all of it on the CGI shit.
Think about it. This movie does have 40% new filmed scenes.
Yeah, but he was able to shoot a lot of that.
They were still probably shooting on film, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you can get a hard, hard copy of this.
A hard, hard
copy. Originals.
Okay. All right. So, where do we start?
I would like to hear everyone's origin story.
I too want to hear everyone's origin stories.
Mine is dark and painful.
Okay, we'll save yours for a good point then. I don't want to start with the dark and painful. All right, so Samantha, let's start with you.
Okay.
Where did you first encounter this movie?
I saw it in the theater when I lived in Illinois at the Wow 7 Cinema with my friend Elena, and I think Hannah might have also been there. I don't remember how we decided to watch it.
Okay.
I think it's just like we wanted to go to the movies, and it was within the rating of films we were allowed to watch, and we watched it, and became obsessed with it. Like, obsessed. And, yep, as soon as it was available on DVD, I was like, Mom, we gotta get this, and did, and I sure did pick it for many a movie night. And I think
you probably saw it before I did.
Maybe, I don't know. But the joke that got me the hardest in the theater while we were watching it was the Lion King parody. Cho Simba one.
Cho Simba.
Yeah, that's not my favorite joke anymore, but at the time, that was what got 12-year-old, 11 or 12-year-old Samantha real good.
Yesterday was the first day that I've made it that far into this was not my first attempt to watch.
Okay.
We've tried two other times.
And the other two times I fell asleep.
Oh, you fell asleep. Okay. I would just think with just the noise in this film, that would almost be impossible to do. But okay.
I watched it one time with Jeffrey and Mike when they lived together. Okay. And then I think we tried watching it like a year ago?
2 years.
2 years ago. And, yeah.
I'm scared to rewatch it.
She didn't even remember the first scene. And she didn't fall asleep at that point on either viewing.
Okay.
That's so cute.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right. So, you got through it this time, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you loved every minute of it, right?
Yes. So I was very, I would say, maybe prejudiced towards it because it already annoyed me and I had never watched it.
Oh, you were predisposed to hate it.
How were you annoyed by a film you've never seen before?
I lived with two grown-ass men, Michael and Jeffrey.
Oh, Jeffrey ruined it.
And yes, he kept saying Tinda. Ooh, that's Tinda. But the thing is, he didn't say it the one time like the guy in the character, you know, kind of did. He did it over and over and over and over. So I was like, this movie is pure doggy dookie.
I understand. I'm scared to rewatch it. I'm worried it won't like live up, or I'll find it like I'll be like,
no,
it
totally holds up. It totally holds up.
It's even better because it brings you back to when you first enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I think you will enjoy it. Once I got past, like, that was the first time I've ever seen the Simba part, so you know, there's little gems in there that you may have forgotten.
All right, I'm gonna ask, did any parts of it genuinely make you laugh?
Yeah.
even if you were completely sober.
Oh no, definitely not.
That's a lie.
I don't know. There were a few parts where it did really tickle me. I'm struggling to bring them forward in my brain.
Remember them
right now. Just because I was entertained does not mean I'm going to retain any of it.
Okay.
She doesn't even remember the names of our pets.
That's true.
Okay. All right. JJ, what about you? Where did you first encounter this?
So my mom had a collection of some of his other works, like Thumb Wars.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Bat Thumb.
So, yeah. So those were all bad. And... But I didn't like this movie when I first saw it. And then I was 22 when it came out. So I thought I was going to be doing bigger and better things in life. And, you know, I thought, oh, this is not cinema. This is whatever. And then so I just watched it again for the first time in 20 years. And I had a great time. There's a lot of great quotes. So I feel bad that I kind of passed on that movie for so long, I think it would have been great to watch it with Brennan. He would have been quoting it. You know, my son's 18 now, so it's one of those things that I think he should have watched it. And I wish I wasn't too, I guess, arrogant to say that, oh, this is, because yeah, it's stupid funny, but it's, we had a good time, you know.
Were you looking at me? Mm-hmm. That was not arrogance. I enjoy terrible, terrible movies. It's just I
just happen
like
to be a prude about this one.
Listen, it literally gave me a headache, and I fell asleep.
Oh, he's got his games out here, folks.
But Angela, I own these, so take it for what it's worth. This is something we talked about earlier, but
oh my God.
These are video games. Yeah.
If you ever meet Mark Wahlberg, I really hope you get him to sign that.
I've been trying every day since '93.
You need to start hanging out at the Wahlburgers place.
Oh, man.
You know their restaurant?
Yeah, they have hamburgers. Just every day you get the number 3. I don't know how that.
I'm getting the number 3 every day until you introduce me to Marky Mark.
And sign my Sega CD copy. Thank you.
All right, so Mike, you go next.
Oh, I need to probably leave. He's going to spout how much he loves something more than me.
No.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you did just get a nice shout out in the first episode we recorded. I mean, last week's episode. I mean, month.
Yep.
Whenever we choose to release these.
Not
month. So, the first time I watched it, I remember it was Christmas break of my sophomore year of high school.
Okay.
And I had been up like super late the past couple of nights. And so I was really tired. Jeffrey and Morgan and I were staying the night at Grandmolly's house, my grandmother. We did that a lot on Christmas breaks. We would just spend most of our time over there. And, he was like, you have to watch this movie. It just came out. I don't know if it was out on DVD or if he got a pirated version that he burnt on a disc and we were able to watch it. But it's kind of ironic because I had a similar first watch as Angela did where I kept falling asleep. And he kept waking me up and making me, like, he would rewind it and make me pick back up where I left off.
That's because
he's exhausted.
He's a good person.
Yeah. But it finally, like, he woke me up enough, and I don't know if it was that or we just got to a part where it clicked, but it was around, like, 3 in the morning when everything is funny.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it just, from there, it got me. And I was in hysterics the rest of the movie. And there was all, like, I don't know that I've ever gone through a movie so many times. And, like, for as stupid of a movie as it is, there's all these, like, little eggs that you pick up with each rewatch.
Yes.
Where you're like, holy shit, I didn't notice that. I didn't catch that. I didn't know what they were talking about there. Yeah. Even the, like, the joke about the rubber glove.
Yes.
I didn't understand what they were referencing until last night. Way darker of a joke. Okay. But yeah, it's. I'm glad that Jeffrey finally made me watch it, and we've watched it many, many times since.
Yes, okay.
And quote it incessantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the quoting was in part to, because he lived in Norfolk the entire time. So we would get, like, calling cards. Remember when those were a thing?
Yeah.
You had to get prepaid calling cards?
Yep.
And whenever we'd talk on the phone, like, we would just get into these fits of quoting and, whoever did the voices, was it Steve that did most of the voices?
Yes, he did all of the voices except one. The actress that played Woe, she did her own voice.
Okay, so I guess his voice is very similar to Jeffrey and I's, so we could mimic a lot of them better than I could do really any impression.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about that, but everyone can do a good version of these voices.
So that, I mean, that had a part in me appreciating it even more, because, I mean, I've tried and failed to do impersonations for as long as I've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I could do a serviceable one, I appreciate it.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So I'm going to take y'all on a trip back in time. So it's January 20, 2002. And my little brother is, it's about to be his birthday. And he is like, Josh, I know what I want for my birthday. I said, okay, what is it? And he goes, I want you to take me and our other brother to Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. So I was like, okay, sure. That sounds like a fun time for the three of us to go on. I think had seen some commercials for this film, but he was all hyped up. He definitely wanted to see this film. And, you know, he was really young at that time. So I was like, all right, we'll go. This is one movie theater experience that I think I have ever been in where it was packed, like literally every seat, and it's one of the best movie theater experiences I've ever had. This was like the time you're in the movie theater, like when they're showing a movie theater on TV. Like the crowd is popping off at every laugh and everyone's really enjoying the film. Like literally, it was that good of a time. And I mean, people were pissing themselves laughing in this film.
Just urine cascading down the...
Yes, everywhere. Especially
well, the baby did in the first few minutes.
Soaked. Yeah,
everyone.
The
pees.
One that really
the first three rows drowned.
Yes. Luckily, my brothers and I were on the fifth row, and we did survive the tragedy of that night. I will say the one I also remember, the intermission screen. That one just slayed in the movie theater for some reason. It was just everybody loved the fact that that man's nipples did look like
my
milk
nipples
duds.
Look like milk duds.
So yes. And from that point, like I said, I remember being like, all right, that was pretty good. And I think, Mike, the movie was out on DVD around that time, because I'm pretty sure I got Joey this as his Christmas present that year on DVD. So I think your cousin definitely had a legit copy. I'm good.
That's good. We won't have to report him to the feds.
That's correct. That is correct.
You wouldn't steal a car.
You wouldn't download a car.
But you would steal Kung Pao.
You wouldn't download a pizza. I think I had a Tupperware thing with some toadlets in it. I think Elena gave me, she caught some toadlets and she was like, here. And then we lost one in the theater. What?
I thought poor you toad. Were referencing that weird...
No, live
There's a
live
part in the movie... I don't know if they were making fun of episode one, because it came out around
the same time,
right?
1999.
But there's a transition where they're in the school and there's just a random little
monster
goblin.
Yes.
Yeah. No reference anything. It never comes back.
I think that was like, I looked that up at one point. I remember hearing like that's something maybe he puts in his films or something like that at some point. Now, like JJ mentioned, once this happened, I think we did rent one of the Thumb Wars, because I remember after this movie was somewhat of a hit, they did re-release the Thumb Wars, and I think they had them. Oh, you know what? I know what it was. They were on Comedy Central, and we were watching it, and I was like, okay, this is kind of like it, but it's not as good. But this movie was, from that point forward, the night that we saw it in the movie theater, forever and ever quoted, in my own household, and probably will be, I am debating which of the quotes to have inscribed on my gravestone.
That's a lot of nuts.
Oh, man.
So, you know.
I'm just a birdie, too.
I'm just a birdie, too.
You go that way, I'll go home.
Yep. And then
your ventriloquist tricks will work on me.
That's right. When your girls are done kissing, I've got some ass kicking for you. There's just
Or no, it's if you've got an ass, I'll kick it.
If you've got an ass, I'll kick it. There's so many in this film.
Face to foot style. How'd you like it?
I think when they were bringing in Master Doe, right? What was it? Pretty much around the big bloody spot when you're like, where does it hurt? And they're
just... Yeah. I think if I had to pick right now, it's going to be I Rock and Roll All Night Long, Sweet Susie.
All day long.
All day long. Damn it. See, we're going to have to get this confirmed before I get it inscribed on my tombstone.
And who do you rule? The large, dark nipple people? I Rock. And Roll all day long, Sweet Susie. I just like Windblow's character because his inflection is so bizarre. Like, and last night I kept watching him thinking, like, are they just trying to keep it with what they're saying but still try to mess it up? And I don't know, it still didn't match up.
So here's an interesting little tidbit about that. So, you know, there are a couple of scenes that are shot, you know, with new actors and stuff like that. Apparently Odenkirk and Jennifer Tung, when she was playing Woe, during their scenes they actually did nonsense words while they were
I know it's on. Yeah. The bonus of the DVD is the entire movie in that.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not just their scenes. Yeah. Like everything with Steve in it, he's talking gibberish.
Yeah, they talk gibberish the entire time, so that way they keep the illusion of the bad dub going. I thought that was really cool.
I've seen it.
you've watched that version.
Yeah.
Wow. I think you are now. You're the master here, Mike. I'm just gonna bow out. I'm letting you take it over from here. You got it.
What? So I remember one of the most laugh out loud parts for me was the joke. And he's like, "What do you get when you cross? What is
an owl with a bungee cord?"
An owl with a bungee cord.
Yes.
And he goes, "My ass," or something like that. And I don't know why, but that just hit the spot, and I felt like I was crying.
That's one of the examples of. Because, like, normally they're trying to go so far away from the lip movements to joke about overdubs and how they are notoriously bad.
Right.
But that, like, his delivery is one where it matches up like a bad lip reading.
But it still works.
And then the dog. Where it got increasingly later every single time, like it would bark. Yes. And then you're waiting, and then it was like, and then, like, it just kept getting longer and longer and longer.
I also, we were laughing about the serial reuse of scenes.
Yes.
Like the just three times. They stay so true to the comedy rule of three in this movie. Like, every joke happens three times. So, like, the whole... Whoosh.
Oh, my God. I just remembered when he gets caught in the tiny net.
And then they just play it in reverse for him to get out of it.
Or when everyone died, and then he kept running around the circle. He ran around that circle three times.
Well, if all you are all right, then surely wind blows. Just hear flies.
Poor wind.
Everybody is having such a good time talking about this film. That's great. That's
the
great.
Movie deserves it.
It does. It really does. Oh.
So another thing that I was thinking about is from the first time that I watched it, I hated so many scenes in the movie, kind of like you were talking about, JJ. Like Tongue-y, I didn't want to be a part of the movie, even though it's like pretty critical to the entire story.
It's but the movie. I was like,
the movie is funny enough on its own. It doesn't need like this kind of like stuff. Tongue-y. They should have just taken a more serious plot point. And like the one boob lady, the cow, all of the CGI the stuff. Cow. I thought like. This looks terrible, and I hate that they included it.
Well, I was
But then when I thought about it in the rewatch, I was like, you know, for the time, this is actually pretty decent.
It was, and I was also going to say, and there were, in defense of the cow scene, if I must, which I also admit I'm not a huge fan, what series of movies just came out right before? Well, the first one of the series of movies just came out right before this, The Matrix. And everyone was still parodying The Matrix. It was still a fresh, hot take. It hadn't been run into the ground. It was certainly, like, starting to tilt towards the ground and screaming towards impact, but it hadn't been run into the ground just yet. So it was still kind of fresh and still kind of funny. I think the credit scene with the cow is funnier than the whole thing with the cow, where he's at the craft service table and the guy needs coffee or milk for his coffee or something. So that's funny. Yeah.
Oh, so I've got a real hot take for you guys. So we all know about the tease for the sequel. Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't realize until we watched it again last night, but the sequel already exists.
What?
It's Barnyard.
Barnyard. Because
he did the Barnyard. Did he do the movie or the show?
So I know he did that's what I was looking up, because I know Brennan used to watch that cartoon when he was younger, so I was looking up Back at the Barnyard on Nickelodeon. We used to watch that all the time. And
So maybe it was just the show that he did. But there's a scene where, like, because he fought the cow in the first one, now they show a ton of barn animals that square off against him.
Okay.
I was like, wow, that's some foreshadowing that they didn't expect.
Oh.
So he actually directed the movie, but then the TV series, he was an executive producer.
Okay.
I never realized that he worked with Jim Carrey so much.
Yeah, apparently
so. He did Ace Ventura.
Did you realize he made a male cow that has udders?
Yes. Yes.
I did not realize that.
It doesn't quite track. I was actually looking at this. He also did, apparently, he did Patch Adams, The Nutty Professor 2, Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius.
Thumb Wars.
Bruce Almighty, you're correct, Thumb Wars, Barnyard, yep. Oh, man.
So, with the sequel, we held out hope for so long.
Oh, my God,
long. Yeah,
same.
There was even...
Wait, you guys thought there was a real chance for a sequel?
I was 12.
Yeah, there was even a point where they were talking about doing a Kickstarter for it.
Oh, I gave up after I became an adult, but as a child, I believed.
I knew from the moment it happened that it was never going to happen, and I'm also going to be the first to say it should never happen.
No, it should.
It should not. It will.
Every 2 to 3 years, I will randomly Google Kung Pao.
That's what I do for Speed Racer.
I won't be sober if I have to watch that one either.
I've never not been sober.
I'm just going to say, I don't think it's like Spaceballs, where they're talking about the sequels in Spaceballs, the search for more money. You should never make the film. They should have never made the animated series for Spaceballs, I'll also just say. As an aside, but no, it needs to be its own thing forever, just left it alone.
I guess.
You can't catch lightning in a bottle twice. You really can't.
If you have a lot of bottles, I think you can. So they need to make like 500 sequels, and one of them will be good.
Take the Star Wars approach.
JJ, weigh in. Yay or nay?
So I think with modern technology and what they were able to accomplish with that, I think it will not be a very big budget for them. I think they could actually get it, be able to make that at very minimal cost. So if it's money, okay. If we're trying to determine if it's money based off the success, they can, to Mike's point, kickstart it, or they could even have their own way of streaming it or something like that as well. But I mean, imagine the amount of time to kind of take a bad movie and then try to make it good, but it turns out to be bad, but it's actually really good. It's a weird setup how it actually works. And then to bring all the, I mean, how many people, how many different actors did he bring in? And, how long did it take to make that entire film?
I don't know. Let's see if it says. Probably like a whole weekend.
It had to be a considerable investment, you would think.
Because I
think that it was probably a small team, but took a lot of time.
I think that's definitely the way it went. I mean, but $10 million for a movie, even back then, that's like nothing. That was like, this was a write-off film they were probably planning, but then it maybe hit bigger than they expected.
It's funny to think, like, shit was that expensive back then, and it was so much harder to make. But I can't see a movie like that being made now, even though the entry price is so much lower.
I could see it being made on... We'll never see a film like this again in theaters. I'll agree with that. Or even on, I would say, like, maybe a big streaming platform for, like, you know, Max or something like that. But I think this type of film and this type of comedy is still alive today, and it's alive on YouTube.
It's called that
for free with ads.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. Would you have bad lip reading without this film? Now, you wouldn't have this film without Mystery Science Theater 3000, or, you know, things like that.
They just ran commentary, though. They didn't do straight acting out.
I'm not saying it was like a one-to-one, but I was like, you could definitely see the inspiration. And like I said, I know...
I think the only true successor to it would be MXC.
MXC, definitely. Yeah.
Where they took a show and then gave it the same treatment.
And it's also... just as good.
Amazing.
So good.
Yes,
the jokes run 90 miles an hour on that show.
So you guys want to hear something kind of interesting? So apparently, like, the real show, the Takashi's Castle, is coming back to Japan this year. They're remaking it, but does that bring us hope that MXC will maybe eventually come back over?
I don't know what you're talking
God,
about.
I hope so.
Will we finally get to see the reuniting cast of
Jimmy
Blankenship and Vic Romano?
It's like, it was it came out in what, like the mid-2000s?
Yes.
And it ran for 5 seasons. And it was essentially like this Japanese game show, kind of like Wipeout.
From like the late...
Over here.
Late 80s.
But it was in the late 80s.
Yeah.
But they just chopped up all of the games and everything, and then they had 2 announcers, and they would overdub people's voices.
Jimmy Blankenship and Vic Romano.
I didn't watch that ever. Takashi's Castle sounds familiar. Maybe I've like read about its infamy or something.
Yeah.
But I definitely have not seen it.
I think his name's Beat Tanaka. Does that sound like a person?
That sounds like a familiar name to me.
He's a very famous Japanese actor, and he's in the show. Like, it's just... Or is it Beat Takeshi? No. I don't know. It's that guy. He's in, let's see, something.
Beat Tanaka.
Beat Tanaka. Yeah, he's in Battle Royale. That movie.
Takeshi Kitano? Yeah. Oh, Beat Takeshi.
Yeah. Sorry, I said Tanaka Takeshi. So he's in that show, like, the whole time. So it was a serious deal over there. But MXC is great. And again, you can definitely say there is no MXC without Kung Pao Enter the Fist. Like I said, I would argue that there's no Kung Pao Enter the Fist without Mystery Science Theater 3000, but that's just me, apparently. So.
Agreed, it is agreed.
Every time I see the name Takeshi, I think of the Genji Japanese textbooks we had in my Japanese class, because you follow like a group of university students for the dialogues, and Take-san was going on a date with international student Mary-san, and supposed to meet her at Haagen-Dazs, but he accidentally went to McDonald's, so I always just hear Makudunarudo. Gomenasai, because that's what the audio sounded like. Take-san.
All right. So, Angela, Can we now count on you viewing this film maybe once every 5 years? I think that's the right window. 5 years.
Sure.
Sure?
But I can't promise I'll stay awake. I'm already really tired just talking about it.
You feel drained after. So I'll give you guys an interesting tidbit. So I did a rewatch this morning, like I typically do when we're going to do our episodes. But I was really enjoying playing my game, so I put this on my, I call it my side TV. And this is a film I don't need to literally watch with my eyes to love it as much as I do. Like, I knew all the lines were coming. I could see everything clearly in my mind's eyes. All this stuff was happening. The only thing that, like, caught me off guard is I did forget there is a post-credit scene in this film with the hawk. Yes. But it's great. It's great.
It lives rent-free in your brain.
It does! So I hate to mention, but much like Cousin Jeffrey, I cannot say the word Tinder without thinking, that's Tinder. Ooh, that's Tinder. Ooh, that's Tinder. So I do it too. I also say wah every time. Yep. I just
oh my, that was my big quote. I was doing that a lot.
So
rub it in my hair. There you go. I also use that one all the time. Yep.
Because you have so much.
Yes. 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 There you go. Oh, wow. Well, I think we can all come to at least one agreement that $4 will get you a lot of nuts. I think we can we can all agree, and I think we'll end it here on that honestly sobering and reassuring thought, folks. Just know that,
you know, I bet that was a million right there, was getting the functioning squirrel with the handprint.
Mike, you can see them dragging it with the fishing line, buddy.
No, it moves on its own.
All right. We'll see you next time, folks. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye-bye.